Is standing for social justice and engaging in social activism a distraction from preaching the gospel? Could it even be a symptom that we have left our first love? We'll address that head on today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I spent... 4 wonderful, very fruitful days in Orlando, Florida. Last week, got back in last night, Sunday night. And I want to address something that I think is very, very important to all of us as believers. In fact, it's on the heels of an email that was sent in to us that I want to talk to you about. But a whole lot of significant things happened. Thank you so much for praying for the debate at University of Central Florida. We've got a bunch of excerpts we'll be playing from that. Also, there was a horrific beating of someone identified as a transgender woman at a McDonald's over the while I was in Orlando. You may have seen the video, nauseating, painful video to watch. Thankfully, the victim survived and is not seriously physically injured by it. But I want to address this because of what it is associated with. I want to give you my take on that as well. And my question for you, standing for social justice, getting involved in social activism, doing the things that I've been doing in recent years having to do with resisting gay activism, is that a distraction from the gospel? Is that a distraction from going for souls? Is it a symptom perhaps that our hearts have drifted from love for Jesus and we're getting involved in political things? Or is it all part of a larger picture? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, get into the always interesting discussion taking place right now on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, before I get into the debate, before I tell you the opposition there was to this debate and what had to be overcome in order to hold this debate, I want to read an email that was sent my way. The great bulk of emails that come in are handled by our very able staff and team. And then some are sent directly to me to answer on Fridays, or some are sent directly to me because they're of personal interest. And this is one that was sent to me. I don't feel the least bit defensive in sharing it with you, but I think it raises an interesting point. It's by someone named Wendy, and this was in response to a recent e-blast we did with my book I've worked on almost 6 years, A Queer Thing Happened to America, just coming out last month. And I was encouraging people to get involved with getting that known or interacting on Amazon with the reviews there, etc. This is something we believe God wants to use to help awaken the conscience of the nation. It is part of my constant call, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. So day and night, we are praying for, calling out for, reaching out for the salvation of the homosexual community. And at the same time, we are standing against gay activists. If you've listened to the show for a week, you know that. So here's the email from Wendy. In my opinion, a queer thing has happened to Dr. Brown. He's no longer preaching the gospel for the salvation of souls. That's interesting. I wasn't aware of that, but let me continue the email. Satan is just delighted about this. Another servant of God led astray, using a precious time and energy, gaining notoriety, defending causes, and making enemies rather than preaching the grace of God through the cross. We truly are in the age of apostasy. What do you think of this email, friends? 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe Wendy is right on and has a valid criticism for me, or do you believe that Wendy is deeply missing the point? Then she says, please don't email me with a defense. Every email I get is about his cause. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think Dr. Brown, like so many today, is just bored with his first love. He never seems to have much to say about him. Now, let me just say this one thing. It's not my place to judge Wendy, and it's not Wendy's place to judge me in terms of the motivation of my heart or the motivation of her heart. So she definitely crosses a wrong line in making certain statements. But this much I can tell you, she doesn't know me at all, at all, at all. But we'll talk about this and give you some updates on the debate. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen, friends, I'm convinced that it is the role of the church to bring awakening to society. How? Through the power of the gospel. How? Through us being touched, and as we are touched, that we touch the world. Jesus changes us and says, go change the world. To me, it's all part of the same picture. It's all part of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It is not trying to take over. It is trying to serve humanity with the message of Jesus and use the spiritual authority over demonic powers God has given us. But our question is, standing up for social justice, is that a distraction from the preaching of the gospel? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you click on the Line of Fire and today's show, you'll find lots of resources relevant to the program. Okay, in a moment, I want to talk to you about what happened at the debate, University of Central Florida, play some excerpts for you, and I'll be doing that through the broadcast today. In fact, if you want to catch up later through 2 hours of programming today, which you can get online at AskDrBrown.org at the Line of Fire link, I'll be playing lots of excerpts from the debate spread out over all 2 hours of our programming, which air different hours in different parts of the country. What if my great burden was to deal with human trafficking? The ministry I worked with down in Orlando these last 4 days, Resound Mission Base, they're involved in reaching out to people who are caught in human trafficking. You're talking maybe a 13, 14-year-old kid runs away from home, gets taken in by people, could be Russian mafia, could be some other groups, gets taken in by these people. Next thing, they're being sold as sex slaves. They have rescued some of these kids. Not all of them get saved as a result of it. They get saved from the abuse they were in. They may not come to know Jesus, but that's always the goal, to get them completely rehabilitated and spiritually right with God. Is that a distraction from the gospel? I mean, these kids sold into slavery, is that, trying to rescue them, is that a distraction from the gospel? And what about, many churches are engaged in feeding the poor. Many of the poor won't believe. Many of the poor won't get saved. Is that a distraction from preaching the gospel? You say you're comparing apples with oranges. You know, one thing is reaching out to people, the other is resisting. Well, hang on. Aren't we resisting evil when we stand for what is good? Don't the words of the prophets still apply until today? Are not we called to be salt and light in the society? I've probably read this 100 times in recent months. But I agree with Dr. Martin Luther King, who said the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state, and never its tool. I want to play a clip for you. Joey, it'll be clip number 9. Chick-fil-A, all right? Well-known Christian food chain, closed on Sundays, just serves chicken products, no beef there at Chick-fil-A. They play Christian music in their stores. They train their workers to be specially gracious and friendly and helpful. So in February, a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Pennsylvania, this is from the American Family Association website, a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Pennsylvania donated some sandwiches and brownies. Did you get this? They donated some sandwiches and brownies to a marriage seminar hosted by the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Because the seminar promoted marriage as between one man and one woman, a pro-homosexual activist launched an all-out attack on Chick-fil-A, and that attack is ongoing, and students at different universities are trying to get Chick-fil-A banned. They have these big student union buildings with cafeterias and things and different vendors. Where I just was over at UCF, they had Sbarro's, they had just lots of different food vendors there. So different universities, they have Chick-fil-A selling food, or Chick-fil-A in different settings where you can get food there. And gay activists and now students of these different universities are launching petitions and trying to get Chick-fil-A banned because they are guilty of practicing discrimination. Now, in a moment, I want to play a clip where you can hear how the students are approaching this. Do you realize the outrage of this? Do you realize how extreme this is, that a Christian company donating some food to a family seminar, and at the family seminar they say, at the Family Seminar, they say that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and they are now being marked as a hate group and guilty of discrimination, and the university should have nothing to do with them, as if they were the same as the KKK or something like that, or some neo-Nazi party. That's why the AFA has encouraged a boycott. Go this week and shop more at Chick-fil-A and thank them for their Christian values and Christian stands. We are, and you say, well, what does that matter? I mean, what's that got to do with the gospel? Well, hang on. Do you want to be codified as a bigot? Do you want to be codified by society as a bigot, as a hate-filled person? Do you think that's going to help you now preach the rest of the message of Jesus? Oh, and one other thing. Where is it written that as we share the gospel, everybody likes us? You know how many enemies I have in the Jewish community because I do outreach to the Jewish people? And because I share the gospel with my fellow Jews, and because I tell Jewish people they need Jesus to be saved. You know how many enemies I have among the Jewish people? You think if we draw back from certain other issues, everyone's going to like us? All right, listen to this clip.
At first, the chancellor at Indiana University South Bend suspended Chick-fil-A as a vendor while the school reviewed allegations against the corporation. Then Chick-fil-A was allowed back because the particular store that provides sandwiches to the school wasn't involved with the questionable fundraising. But that was still upsetting to some people.
According to our policies, if a group is funding discrimination in any way, shape, or form, they don't have any place to do business with Indiana University.
That's how this petition got started, eventually gaining over 7,000 signatures. Chick-fil-A protesters say they found what they considered to be more evidence of Chick-fil-A's support of hate groups. They say the chancellor ignored their findings, which eventually led to the formal discrimination complaint against the chancellor.
She did not take the initiative to look into the issue and decided that she was going to continue to purchase Chick-fil-A for the university.
Tonight, ABC 57 talked with one of five students behind the complaint against the chancellor. Rebecca Gibson tells me she joined the cause because she hopes it will make the chancellor have to address this issue.
We're hoping that through this and through the public attention that she will see that what she's doing is increasing and extending the length of the discrimination.
And for Jacobs, he says it's a quick fix because they aren't under contract with Chick-fil-A. He says all they need to do is stop buying sandwiches from them each week.
The difference between them being on this campus and not being on this campus is a phone call, and that people are so upset about this, it's just insulting that it hasn't been taken care of.
This is insanity. This is an outrage. Donating some brownies and some sandwiches to a family meeting of a Christian organization that says marriage is the union of a man and woman the way it has always been through history and the way God ordained it. That now the whole organization is guilty of being a hate group practicing discrimination, and we as Christians are not supposed to address that? Let me ask you a question. We go out and get people saved. I'm involved in evangelism every opportunity I have. We're involved in Jewish evangelism every day of the week here. We have our students trained and sent out that are doing evangelism every day of the week. When I'm talking on the radio, we have our grads doing evangelism all around the world. We are engaged in it as much as anybody I know. This is our heart. This is our soul. This is our passion. Great Commission. The Great Commission is not simply to save souls. The Great Commission is to make disciples. What did disciples do? How did disciples live? Once you are a disciple, what are you supposed to do in society? As a disciple, do you seek to teach your kids? Hey, do you send your kids to school? Do they learn to read? Do they learn math? Do they learn other things? Do you show them to brush their teeth? You know, when they're little kids, brush and make sure you get all the way in the back. Do you tell them to do those things? Why? That's part of living. If your neighbor's hurting, do you visit that person? Do you pray for that person? Do you bring a meal over to that person? If you see something wrong, if there's gang violence in your city, do you just say, well, praise the Lord, that's what sinners do. I'm just going to try to get them saved. Or you try to get them saved and try to get to the root of some of the social problems and family problems and help in other ways that you can so that people aren't getting slaughtered in your community and young lives aren't getting cut down. Of course we do these. How do we live in this world? What does it mean to shine the light? What does it mean to be rich in good works? I have no question that plenty of people get caught up in political activism or other causes that have left their first love. I also have no question that the greatest challenge for all of us is to keep walking in our first love. That's why I wrote something early last week called Let the Awakening Begin with Us that we'll soon publish and put out. The question is when we are awakened. That's my constant pursuit to draw closer into Jesus and to not have lost anything that I walked in the past, and to love his word more deep than I've ever loved it, and to love and know him more deep than I've ever loved and known him. But as we are awakened, what happens next? How does the awakening in us affect our society? We'll be back with your calls and some clips from the UCF debate when we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being with us here on The Line of Fire. If you care about kids, if you care about what they're taught in the schools, if you care about human lives, then you're going to care about lots of things in the society that relate to the preaching of the gospel in terms of a message of salvation, but are not exclusively about a message of salvation. Is it okay for Christians to be involved in education if it's not Christian education? Is it all right for Christians to be involved in business and to seek to bring righteousness in business, or if it's not just preaching the gospel? We live our lives here. How do we live as disciples? How do we live as followers of Jesus? 866-34-TRUTH. We're addressing the question, is social justice, and in some cases social activism, is that a distraction from preaching the gospel, or is it another dimension of our role here as followers of Jesus? 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, before I go to the phones, the debate at the University of Central Florida, which is a campus of something like 60,000 people, I was told one of the largest student bodies in America. Some folks that we connected with a little over a month ago were able to get a room booked. A professor held a room at UCF. They found another professor who was willing to debate me. He proposed the title, Same-Sex Marriage, Should It Be Legal? I said, fine, we'll go with that. I'd never debated that subject in public or private. Of course, I'd looked at that in writing my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, but had never focused on that or written much about that or ever debated it. But I felt I could put good arguments together, and God's called me to public debate. I didn't know anything about the professor, but expected him to be very sharp based on his degrees and background and the fact that he coached a debating team at his college. And no campus group would sponsor the debate. No campus group. The only way it went forward was because a professor had booked a room for this Christian ministry to use in a public building on the campus. That's one thing. Another thing is this professor has come under a lot of internal pressure because of it. I have letters from one gay activist involved in the school, part of the school faculty or faculty coach, whatever it is, saying he would do whatever he could to shut down the debate. It caused an uproar. I didn't want to talk about all of this beforehand, but the day before the debate, there was a conference call with 11 people, including the other professor, 11 people, but not me, no surprise, about whether the debate should go on or not. There was discussion that it would be worse for public relations if they didn't hold it. And others have said, of course we're going to hold it. This is a college campus. How can we not hold a debate on this subject? This is the level of opposition. We're not friends. We're not talking about a subject, do homosexuals go to hell, okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about same-sex marriage, should it be legal? And it's so volatile. Look, on another campus where this ministry group, Resound, tried to get other folks involved, another Christian group said, if you try to do this, we will fight against it happening. Yeah, I kid you not, friends. The only way we could have the debate was with police presence. There were four policemen there, as if there could be potential riots. And thankfully, everything went smoothly. We had a very good crowd, not 100% filled in the room seat at, 200, something like that, but almost completely filled. A very good turnout. Ultimately, there was no disruption. So I want to play a clip from my opening comments where I explain what the debate is not about. Clip number one.
So this is a debate that we need to have. My hope is that Dr. Small and I can present things tonight in such a way so as to provide a model for how we can have civil and respectful dialogue in the midst of a volatile issue. I want to say what this debate is not about. It's not about what the Bible says about homosexual practice. It's not about the separation of church and state. It's not about whether gays and lesbians can be good citizens, whether they can have loving relationships, whether they can be dedicated parents. It's not about what two or more adults do in the privacy of their home or who they choose to live their lives with. It's not even about gay civil rights. And it's certainly not about which speaker can push the most emotionally charged buttons or is a sharper dresser. I think I lost that one tonight. The debate is not about whether I or proponents of historic marriage care about gays and lesbians. If I didn't care, I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't take every opportunity I can to interact with the LGBT community so they can share their heart and their perspective with me. Nor is this debate about whether heterosexuals have done a terrible job in recent years with marriage, with rampant no-fault divorce and promiscuity and pornography and other problems. There's no debate about that. We've done a mess. We've done made things into a mess, no question about it. Tonight's debate is about the meaning of marriage. And since marriage throughout human history has not been the committed union of two or more people, but rather the committed union of a man and woman, for reasons I'm about to explain, same-sex marriage should not be legal simply because it is not marriage. And there's no compelling reason for the state to change the meaning of the most fundamental of all social institutions.
Now, we had one of our grads there at the debate. He's 29 years old. He watched the reactions of some of the students that came with the professor I was debating. By the way, this should be available for free viewing on YouTube on our website very soon. The folks involved that videotaped it said should be up in a matter of days, and then everyone can watch the whole thing and you can draw your own conclusions. What was painful, what was fascinating, was when I would make certain fundamental points or something would come up about gender distinction. Something would come up about male and female differences. And some of the students, especially those that had come with the professor I was debating, would snicker at that. Think, snicker at that? Are you kidding me? Have you become so brainwashed by the media and by the society around you that you're snickering at that? What? And this 29-year-old grad that was in the audience listening said, you know, 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, he said, I could not imagine a debate like this happening on a college campus where the overwhelming sympathy would not have been, yeah, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And now the sympathy among so many students, perhaps the overwhelming sympathy, at least before the debate, was, yeah, same-sex marriage. I mean, it's equality and we have to be fair. And even Christians saying, well, what about civil unions? Other Christians on another campus, a friend was telling me that their position is, look, heterosexuals messed it up so badly. What's the problem with now letting same-sex people get married? These are Christians. These are church kids. If we don't speak out with clarity, if we don't speak up in the love of God, if we don't speak up truthfully, we will have to apologize to our kids and to our grandkids quicker than you realize. And they have every right to come to us and say, Mommy, Daddy, what were you doing when they were bringing about these changes? Well, I was busy saving souls. If we were really saving souls and making them into disciples, society would look very different. For me, friends, this is the great opportunity to lead into the message of the need for salvation. The two go hand in hand. Hey, we are extending one more week our extraordinary offer of 6 weeks of teaching the School of Cultural Engagement. It only sells for $125, which is about a quarter of what it should sell for. $40, 6 CDs with 6 weeks of extraordinary teaching on very important culturally relevant subjects by some of the finest teachers in America for just $40. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. Last week we'll be doing this. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah. Classic email. Notice it also judges my motivation. My opinion, Wendy writes, a queer thing has happened to Dr. Brown. He is no longer preaching the gospel for the salvation of souls. Satan is just delighted about this. Another servant of God led astray, using a precious time and energy, gaining notoriety, defending causes, and making enemies rather than preaching the grace of God through the cross. We truly are in the age of apostasy. Wendy, I don't know what's happening in your own heart, but I'll tell you, when I get real close with Jesus, when I worship him, when I'm alone in the presence of God, he burdens me for this generation, and he burdens me for righteousness. And he burdens me with a calling for moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, which is all about Jesus, which is all about knowing him and making him known. Out of that place of worship and intimacy and deep travail, these burdens rise in my heart. And can I tell you something else, Wendy? I would say that since God burdened me with reach out, resist gay activism with courage, reach out to the people with compassion, since he burdened me for that, I have been more involved in reaching out to the lesbian and gay community and more involved in calling people to pray for their salvation. And just this weekend, had the privilege of helping people struggling in these areas again come to make a deeper commitment to the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH, giving you further updates from the UCF debate last week on same-sex marriage. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. All right, before I get back to the debate and play some more excerpts for you, Jacqueline in East Orange, New Jersey, thanks for holding. Welcome to the line of fire.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes. What's on your mind?
Well, as I was listening to you, by the way, I did order your book, and I have it. The one, A Queer Thing Happened in America, and I was sharing it with some friends last night, excuse me, as we were having Easter dinner. And they were shocked at some of what's going on. And, you know, we as Christians have to be proactive in speaking out on this particular issue. You know, I'm a school teacher, and I see a lot of this transgender behavior and peculiarities. I'm a Christian, and I'm a mother. We have to speak out. And to those people that are saying these horrible things about you, supposed to be preaching the gospel, with due respect to them, they're speaking ignorantly. Because, you see, we're not just spirit, we also have a body that has to be fed and clothed, and people have to be ministered wholly. The whole person has to be ministered to, or else we are not fully preaching the gospel.
Yeah, Jacqueline, that's very, very well said. I'm not sure if you get the radio on in the background. You may need to turn that down. But what you're saying is exactly right. We live in this world. If I said to a Christian, as a Christian, do you care about marriage? Do you care about family? Do you care about children's education? Of course. Well, then you care about gay activism. Jacqueline, give me – oh, and by the way, thanks for ordering the book. We are once again number one in gay and lesbian nonfiction titles on Amazon. As I keep telling folks, together, we're making a difference. We've just got about a minute before the break, but what grades do you teach, Jacqueline?
I teach high school. I have all the high school grades, and I see every kind of behavior you could imagine.
For example?
Well, I've seen, I was walking upstairs one day, and this girl has her leg thrown over this other girl's leg. They're sitting in the corner. There was a time you wouldn't see stuff like that, and girls calling each other their wife. They're confused, and the world will say that they're just, you know, expressing themselves. They are confused. And we who know the Lord have to open our mouths and speak up regardless of whatever the price is we may have to pay.
Yeah, well, God bless you, Jacqueline. May the Lord bless you as you stand for truth. And feel free to call in and share your heart and share more about what's happening in the schools whenever you have the opportunity, okay?
Oh, I will. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. All right. And you heard what she had to say. Friends, this is a microcosm of what's happening in America. And God bless her for saying we have to stand up and do what's right, regardless of cost or consequences. That's the gospel. That is the gospel.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for standing with us, for being part of what's happening on The Line of Fire. This is not a one-person effort. As you listen, you are part of the revolution. As you pray for us, you are part of the revolution. As your life is changed and you share that change with others, you are part of the revolution. As you give financially as you're able, you're part of the revolution. As you share resources with others, you're part of the revolution. Together, one life at a time, by God's grace, we make a difference. I don't want to forget this. I don't want this to go by. There was a horrific beating of someone. At first, I thought it was just a woman. Then it turns out it's a man who identifies as a woman. A horrific beating at a McDonald's in Baltimore. I don't know if you saw the video. I watched it. I was sickened by it. The fact that it was two black women and a white woman, that was not the issue to me. It was the horrific brutality, whatever the color, whoever the people. And I was almost sick to my stomach. Afterwards, I thought, why did I watch that? And I thought, okay, it's best that I watched that. It looks like this woman being repeatedly beaten, kicked in the head, then tried to drag her out and hit her in the head some more. And then it looks like she's having a seizure. And it was nauseating. It was horrific. It was absolutely deplorable. Thankfully, the victim did not suffer physically life-threatening injuries. It's absolutely deplorable that people in McDonald's, the staff, just watch this. Somebody videotaped it. Of course, McDonald's is outraged over that. You can't blame their whole franchise over what happens in one particular place. Outrageous. Horrific. Terrible. Deplorable. Human violence. Hopefully, if any of us were there, we would have stood up against it immediately, or if there was too many people and we couldn't do anything, you call the police immediately. Absolute outrage. That being said, this should not be now used as a platform for, quote, transgender rights. A man who dresses as a woman should not be in the woman's bathroom. And those women, if that's what started the confrontation, should have immediately come out and complained to the manager. That should not be allowed. And we should not be fighting to pass laws that will allow that, or laws that would say if a man wants to dress as a woman and teach at a daycare with your four-year-old that you drop off, that's acceptable, and if you fire that person for that, you're guilty of discrimination. You could go to jail for it. Those are some of the potential laws that are before us in some of the states that are listening to me right now as I speak. So let's not confuse the issues. There was a horrific act of violence against a fellow human being that is completely unacceptable, deplorable, horrific, nauseating. And there is a separate issue, which is there are troubled people, men who dress as women, women who dress as men, who need help from the inside out. We do not need to restructure society so as to bring about acceptance of transgenderism. No, we need to say these people need help. They should be protected from violence like everyone else should be protected from violence and hatred. Nonetheless, you do not. Look, the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York City, it is law there for several years now that a man who identifies as a woman, wants to use the ladies' bathroom, dressed as a woman, can do so. Yeah, maybe you saw some people that didn't quite look like ladies. You're correct. All right, another excerpt from the debate. We're talking about government recognition of same-sex marriage. That's the issue. So I discuss why the government recognizes marriage. Clip number two.
Why should the government even care about marriage? What in the world does a loving romantic relationship have to do with the state? When we understand that, then we understand why same-sex marriage is not marriage. The reason the state conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on the state. Author Frank Turek asked this, for what secular purpose does government recognize traditional marriage? Traditional marriage promotes public goods, it domesticates men, it protects women, it provides a nurturing environment for children. Last week there was testimony before the House of Representatives regarding the Defense of Marriage Act, and an expert witness stated this, and I quote, marriage is the union of husband and wife for a reason. These are the only unions that create new life and connect those children in love to their mother and father. This is not necessarily the reason why an individual person marries. Individuals marry for 100 private and personal reasons, for good reasons and less good reasons. The public purpose of marriage is the reason why society creates laws around marriage. Here, the great public purpose of marriage has always been responsible procreation, rooted in the need to protect children by uniting them with the man and woman who made them. Let's face it, a government license for romantic unions is a strange idea. Adults' intimate relationships in our legal tradition are typically nobody else's business. The more intimate and personal adult relationship is, the less likely the law to be involved. Why, then, is the government involved in marriage? The answer in our society, and in virtually every known human society, is that the society recognizes there is an urgent need to bring together men and women to make and raise the next generation together. Marriage is a private desire that serves an urgent public good. Marriage is a virtually universal human institution. Every human society has to grapple with three persistent facts about human beings everywhere. Sex makes babies, societies need babies, babies deserve a father as well as a mother. End quote.
That quote, that extended quote, was from Maggie Gallagher testifying a little over a week ago before the House in terms of why the government should defend the Defense of Marriage Act and why the government is involved in marriage. If someone asked you, well, why? Why don't we just accept everybody's marriages? Well, the government has no obligation to sanction every romantic relationship, every sexual relationship, every commitment that people make. There's no mandate to do that, no requirement to do that. In fact, it's butting in to do that, isn't it? The reason, again, as others have stated and as I've restated, the reason that the government conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage, or the state conveys benefits on marriage, is because marriage conveys benefits on the state. And the purpose of marriage is not just for two people to have a relationship or a romantic relationship or a friendship or commitment to each other. It is for a man and woman to come together to bring that unique unity that comes out of that and the potential for family for the next generation. The fact that one couple may be unable to have kids, first, they probably don't know that when they get married, just, I mean, unless they're 90 or something, and then they've probably had kids already along the way. But the fact of the matter is, when a couple comes together that can't have kids, that is the exception to the rule. Whereas a homosexual couple cannot reproduce without a third party involved, so they can never have their own offspring. And that's one of the fundamental purposes of marriage, to produce family to support the next generation. That's why the state gets involved with it. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to play some more excerpts from the debate, but back to the phones. Lynn in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I'm on air?
You are on the air, Lynn.
Okay, good. Look, that lady that called in, the school teacher.
Yes.
I was a school teacher here, too, in Houston 10 years ago. My first year, I taught the fifth grade. So I seen it at the elementary level. That was 10 years ago.
Fifth grade.
I had never seen anything like it in my life. But what I did find out, most of the little boys had fathers who was drag queens, what they call them, or gay fathers. So I guess they was pretty much falling in the footsteps. They wasn't with the mother. The mother had given them to the father. That's what I found out in the fifth grade.
All right, hang on. You're saying that teaching fifth graders 10 years ago, were you still in Houston at that time?
Yeah, and I'm still living in Houston.
Okay, fifth graders. So how old are these kids? Like 11, something like that?
12, yeah.
Okay, all right. What kinds of things did you see with the boys? When you say you saw those things, what kinds of things did you see with the boys as a school teacher?
The one of the little boys that had the father as the drag queen would want to come and dress drag too. So they had a problem with that, but they eventually told him he couldn't do it. The other fifth grader I had, he was very cinnamon. So I asked him, I said, what is going on? So we had open house, and I met the parents, this one, and his mother was lesbian. So he told me that his mother told him he had the best of both worlds. He can have a man or a woman and have the best of both worlds. Another little guy was in the fifth grade. He was real sweet. He had a Muslim father, but he beat him to death and kept him in the closet. I have a feeling he was probably molested, too. He didn't go that far, but it was all coming from the household. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, When she said ninth grade and 12th grade, I said, well, she must have missed it 10 years ago because I saw it in the 5th grade.
Yeah,
and
well, that,
I see it now.
Yeah, and Lynn, those are the ones she was teaching, and that's why she saw it in the high school level. You were around the younger kids. When I talk about these things, and when I tell people, get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, find out what's happening in the society, and people are shocked. It shocks me that people are shocked because this is everywhere. God help these families. Well, God help these kids. Hey, Lynn, hang on. We got a break, but I want you to stay on the air with me, so hang on.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have been talking all this hour about our calling as followers of Jesus to make a difference in this world. It is not either or. We've been playing some excerpts of my debate from the University of Central Florida with Dr. Eric Small last week. I'll be playing more before this hour is out. And those that want to hear some more excerpts, you can catch them by listening later online to both hours of programming. That's at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. The whole debate should be on YouTube fairly quickly as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to weigh in. We were on the phone with Lynn in Houston. She was teaching fifth graders 10 years back. And saw one boy, his dad was a drag queen. He wanted to come to school dressed as a girl. The school ultimately said no. There are other school systems in America that say, absolutely yes. Otherwise, we are discriminating against someone's gender identity. And now the whole school somehow has to be reoriented to accept a little boy coming to school dressed as a girl. This is moral insanity. The kid needs help. The family needs help. In fact, they need the transforming gospel of Jesus. But instead, we turn everything topsy-turvy. Friends, we need awakening. Lynn, back to you. What else did you want to share with our listeners?
I showed your TV program to a beauty salon. It's a Christian beauty salon with Sid Roth on it.
Yes.
When you were talking about. The people in there did not even know any of this was happening. So we do need you to teach this stuff, to keep talking, keep going to debate. A lot of people just don't know about it. When I showed that, those women in their shop almost hit the floor. They said they had no idea that the gays wanted this much power or had this much power. My last thing is I went to my daughter's school 2 weeks ago, and it was a police officer in the hall. You know how they clear the hall with the children. Because it was a male and a female hugging. I said, well, you're not going to do anything about it? He said, hell no. I'm just so glad to see that it's a male and a female and not two of the same kind. So I was just, overwhelmed that he said that because evidently it's a lot of it in the school. So he said he wasn't going to do anything. He was just glad to see that it was a male and a female. So
that's
he got a problem.
How old is your daughter?
She's 18. She's graduating this year.
All right. So it was in a high school. So in other words, this male and female were going at it in the hallway. And
the police officer was there. Uh-huh. So I said,
what?
You're not going to do anything about it?
Yeah.
He said, hell no, I'm just so glad to see it's a male and a female for a change. And then I kind of knew what he was talking about.
Got it. All right, well, Lynn, keep making a difference for the Lord. Keep sharing this with friends. Do you already have your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America?
I'm going to purchase 10, and when I go back to the Christian salon, I'm just going to give it to each one of the ladies.
All right, you go ahead and purchase them, but I want to send you an autographed copy for yourself, all right?
Okay.
All right, you stay on hold, and we will mail that out to you. All right, stay right there. Friends, are we getting it? Are we getting it yet? I didn't ask for this assignment. I joyfully, whatever the assignment is from Jesus, whether it's clean the toilets, whether it's go on the mission field and be a martyr, whether it's be a school teacher, whether it's be the president of the United States, whether it's preach the gospel on TV, whether it's live among the homeless, whatever assignment we have from Jesus is an extraordinary privilege, is it not? Is it not? But this is one I didn't think, hey, I think I'm going to take this. I think I'm going to take this on because I'm going to get fame. Oh, yeah. This kind of fame, your own relatives mock you on Facebook. This kind of fame where you become known as the arch homophobe and people profane things about you. Oh, yeah, sure, we crave that. For those who are not from New York, that's a little sarcasm. Listen, if this is not an urgent situation threatening our religious liberties and threatening the education of our children in this generation and next, and hurting people in their own walk with God and their own moral confusion, their own moral sanity or lack thereof, I wouldn't be on this. I want to tell you again, though, I believe there's going to be an amazing harvest of souls, an extraordinary harvest of souls among those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Let's go to clip number 7. This is during a Q&A time.
I told you he'd say something like that. Dr. Brown.
For good reason.
Okay. Dr. Brown, besides the history lesson and besides the straightforward claim that marriage is something, which is a part of the history lesson, could you give us another justification for keeping marriage the way that it is?
Well, continuing to repeat that I gave a history lesson versus a justification is misleading. And the good thing is everything's videotaped and audiotaped, so folks can listen through it again. What I said is there is a reason for marriage, and there's a reason that the government recognizes marriage, and it is because it conveys benefits on the state, in particular drawing a man and woman together in that unique union that caps the potential between the two of them of responsible procreation. And it brings the two opposites together, male-female. It brings an environment where the woman can be protected by the man during pregnancy, where the woman can have a tempering effect on the man. One of my colleagues pointed out that you don't have too many married men running around in gangs. You do not have too many married men running around in gangs because there's a tempering effect of marriage, the male-female union. So male plus female produces a beautiful thing called marriage, which can then produce offspring and the next generation. Male plus male, female plus female. Can't. That's not a history lesson. That's justification based on reality.
All right. That's simple. We are talking about the meaning of marriage and the reason same-sex marriage should not be legal, no matter how much the couples are in love, no matter how much they want to commit themselves to each other. That's between them and God. That's between them and their partners. They'll have to answer to God, not to me. But the reason that we don't endorse that as marriage is because it is not marriage. Watch this. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, was that math? No, that was spelling. All right, check this out. 2 + 2 = 4. Was that spelling? No, that was math. Male plus female equals marriage, life commitment, the possibility of responsible procreation for the next generation. That's the normal rule in marriage. Male plus female coming together as one for lifelong commitment. Yeah, that's marriage. Male plus male, female plus female, it's not marriage. My heart goes out to the people that say, look, this is, we're in love and we want to be recognized. My heart goes out to them. I'm a caring human being. That's not the issue. The issue is it's not marriage. All right, friends, would you be praying with us? Would you be praying that God would cause his message to get out? If you're blessed by this broadcast and you're unable to sow into it financially, would you pray? Would you pray that God would supply every need? There are other stations asking us to come on, and we want to do our best. We are responsible to the stations we're on now. We've got to pay our first bills before we think about the next. So pray with us. Doors of opportunity continue to open. Pray about becoming a torchbearer, though. Those giving $25 or more per month get 15% off of all online orders. Get free access. Yeah, free unlimited access for all online classes that we have, all the online classes I've taught, plus get a new CD every month. You can also get our special School of Cultural Engagement classes at like 80% off. Call us at 800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line is this. If we don't stand for what is right, if we don't stand for what is true, if we don't stand for justice, if we don't stand up for the purposes of God, if we don't stand up for marriage and family and children, who else will stand? What will we say to God on that day? Is standing for social justice and engaging in social activism a distraction from preaching the gospel? Could it even be a symptom that we have left our first love? We'll address that head on today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm going to open up my heart to you today. I'm going to be really candid with you and share some things openly about why I do what I do, why I'm pursuing the course I am pursuing. And in the process, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to help you do what God is calling you to do. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Facebook, there's an interesting conversation taking place right now at Ask Dr. Brown, where folks are weighing in on the question, is standing for social justice a satanic distraction from evangelism? Standing for social justice, a satanic distraction from evangelism. Thank you so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. These are the kinds of questions that we have to answer if we want to be faithful servants of the Lord, if we want to not be ashamed on the day of judgment when we stand before him. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how should I be living? Lord, now that I am saved, now that my sins are forgiven, now that I'm your child, how should I be living? What should I be doing? The Great Commission is a call to go and make disciples. My question is, how do disciples live? 866-34-TRUTH. Thank you, folks, for praying last week for the debate with Dr. Eric Small. It should be available just a few days on YouTube or on our website for free online watching. And I believe you'll be very encouraged as you watch it. I believe you'll also be burdened at some of the blindness that is out there, especially some of the students and their reaction to things, college-age students. And we just finished an hour of broadcasting as we come on live with you, and it was quite extraordinary to get some calls from high school teachers and elementary school teachers talking about what is happening in their schools and saying, Dr. Brown, you need to keep speaking up. Some background to the debate, and then over the course of the broadcast, I'm going to open up and share my heart very honestly with you. When a queer thing happened to America was going to be coming out, again, we didn't have a major publisher backing us. In fact, no major publisher would get behind us. So we self-published Equal Time Books. And by God's grace, the book continues to go out and do well. In fact, at this very moment, without any major publicity campaign or any major funding, just grassroots, encouraging folks to get the book. And of course, I've got, thankfully, this radio voice that goes out to many throughout America. But without a major publicity campaign, without a major publisher backing us, without the bookstores carrying the book yet, that's true. Maybe there's one or two out there carrying it. I don't know of any yet. Right now, we are number one gay and lesbian nonfiction title on Amazon. And by God's grace, I'd like to be in the top 100 or top 10 or top 1 books in all of Amazon because people are interested. And I wrote the book to awaken the conscience of the nation. Why? Because God spoke to me to do it. God laid it on my heart to do it. Those who don't know the Lord think that's the most preposterous, idiotic statement. God spoke to him. God spoke to him to write the book. Well, those of you who know the Lord know that God does burden us, speak to us in different ways. So my whole trust is in him, not in my writing ability, obviously not in the distribution campaign, but in him. But with the book coming out, one of my goals was to get on college campuses to have debates, but we knew it would be very difficult. We had friends working actively in Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, could not get a single door open for a debate. We had friends looking in the New York City area. They couldn't get a door open. Finally, someone in Orlando was able to get a door open, but only because a professor on campus, a Christian professor, said, sure, I'll book a room in your name. Otherwise, no campus group would sponsor it, and one campus group, Christian group, said, you try to bring it to our campus, we will shut it down. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you the truth.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Standing for social justice, a distraction, a satanic distraction to evangelism. A little later in the show, I'm going to share an email that I got that says that very thing. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you haven't been to the website, visit there. Hundreds of hours of free resources. Yeah, no strings attached. To listen to be edified by. That was one of the things I was so excited about as internet developed, that we could put lots of stuff on there for free. Trust God for finances to help with other things as we do it, but put things up there for free so that you can listen, be edified, be challenged, be taught, be equipped. And then other resources, of course, you can purchase, but hundreds of hours of free resources right online at AskDrBrown.org. And then every day when you're listening to the show, click on the Line of Fire, because discussions will often get very intense with lots of people weighing in about the content of the show. And then there are also relevant resources for each show there online. So a professor helps a Christian ministry group book a room there. This Christian ministry group in Orlando, Resound Missions Base, they've worked on the campuses without a problem. They've done outreach on the campuses on a regular basis. They've done outreach dealing with abortion issues without a problem, without a problem. But when it comes to this issue, and the professor I was going to debate suggested the title, same-sex marriage, should it be legal? He had previously debated that. I'd never debated the subject in public or in private, but had done massive research into related subjects over the last 6 years in writing my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I accepted his title. How can we not debate this? 31 states have passed constitutional amendments ratifying marriage as the union of a man and a woman. California is in the midst of massive division over this, with a case potentially headed to the Supreme Court, ultimately, on this issue. You've got four states have passed laws recognizing same-sex marriage. You have the President of the United States saying that his administration will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act. How can you not debate this, and how can you not debate this on a college campus? Things were so volatile that the only way the debate could go forward was with the presence of four policemen, which were absolutely not needed. I'm glad they were there. One of the officers I was talking to, I asked and was chatting about no need for this, and I was wondering why even someone would think there is a need. And he said with a smile, some of the clientele, meaning that some activists would not be happy with this debate taking place and might try to disrupt. That didn't happen, not a hint of it. But the police had to be there because of the university. The day before the debate, it was still volatile, will it happen or not? There was a conference call involving 11 different people, campus vice presidents, not one, a few. Campus vice presidents. I was told vice presidents throughout the campus got involved in this discussion outside of that conference call. Heads of diversity and registration departments, the other professor I was debating, not me, I was not invited to the call, gay activists, who we have his email saying he will do everything in his power to shut the event down from happening. Yeah. And then the other vice president said the debate will happen. Of course it will happen. And what other place to have this debate but on a college campus? That's how volatile things are right now. That's how far things have departed from basic fundamental truth. I want to take you into the debate. Remember, we weren't debating theology. We weren't even debating the issue of what the Bible says about homosexual practice and things like that, which could be even more of an intense debate. And one you'd say, well, maybe at a seminary, not a college campus. I mean, maybe someone would try to come up with that argument, although I thoroughly disagree with that. It's an issue for college campus as well. They talk about all these issues. They talk about religion, of course. But this was about same-sex marriage on a college campus. How can you not have a civil debate on a college campus about this between two professors? I have to say I was surprised and disappointed at a number of the comments made by Professor Small, which I'll play a clip that will illustrate that for you in a moment. But let's go to clip number three, where I address the question, if marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, why limit it to just two?
If marriage is simply the union of two people rather than the union of a man and a woman, why should we limit it to just two? Don't say, well, that's icky, because some people feel homosexual relationships are icky. We have to do better than just saying it's icky. Please tell me why marriage should be the union of just two people. What's so magical about the number two if it's not the union of male and female? Tell me if you agree with this statement. This is by an advocate with the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Quote, do you agree with this? Consenting adults have the right, the charter-protected right, to form the families they want to form. Do you agree with that statement? Well, she was arguing for polygamy. Are you willing to fight for marriage equality for polygamists? Late last year, Columbia University professor David Epstein was charged with carrying on a three-year consensual affair with his adult daughter. Has attorney Matthew Galuzzo commented, it's okay for homosexuals to do whatever they want in their own home? How is this so different? We have to figure out why some behavior is tolerated and some is not. And students who were commenting on Columbia University student newspaper website said this, why is consensual incest a crime? It might not be appealing to everyone, but if they're adults and they consent, who cares what they do? In an interview with the Huffington Post, Galuzzo also questioned whether, quote, prosecuting incest was intellectually consistent with the repeal of anti-sodomy laws that resulted from Lawrence v. Texas in 2003. And he asserted that what goes on between consenting adults in private should not be legislated, because the bedroom is not the proper domain of the law. Do you agree with that? There are now even scientists who have identified what they call GSA, genetic sexual attraction, where people who are connected by blood, in other words, close relatives, may be attracted to each other. Should they have the right to their sexual orientation of incest? You say, look, polygamy is abusive to women, incest can produce handicapped children, but that still doesn't answer why marriage shouldn't include such possibilities, at least within certain parameters. Why not polygamy if the women are happy with it? Why limit marriage to just two people? And what if two gay brothers want to marry? I mean, they can't produce handicapped children. Are you going to discriminate against them? You see, once we start messing with the foundations, all this opens up. You say, you're crazy. This is not happening. This is being argued in the courts today.
Now, what's interesting, as I pressed that argument through the night, why limit it to just two, I never received a single answer. Not even something close to an answer. What's more distressing is that the professor I was debating then said that he had made an agreement with one of the organizers that he would not address issues of incest or polygamy, therefore he would not go there. If we wanted to have another debate about that, we could do that, but he wouldn't do it. Well, it's one thing if the organizers said the only way you can come on campus is if you won't address this and this and this. That's not what happened. We were having a debate about same-sex marriage, should it be legal, and I brought up issues that are happening in courts in America and courts in Canada and courts in Germany over these very issues based on, well, if same-sex marriage is legal, then what about this? And why can't polygamy be legal? And what about consensual relations between adult family members? And on and on and on. there is a publication, oneorlando.org, I guess a gay publication online. And here's the report that it issued before the debate. And then after, the University of Central Florida is hosting a debate on same-sex marriage Thursday, which will feature a nationally known anti-gay preacher, Dr. Michael Brown. According to a right-wing website, the event, which is part of Brown's current book tour, is to be moderated by John Stemberger, and then it goes on with an attack against John. There ended up being another moderator that would, because John was solidly on our side, a pro-family man, active in the Marriage Protection Amendment in Florida in 2008. So it was just agreed, yeah, let's find a neutral moderator. The pro-LGBT side will be debated by Dr. Eric Small of Rollins College. Michael L. Brown writes anti-gay books like A Queer Thing Happened to America. And, are you ready? He hosts an extremist syndicated radio program. Yes, Dr. Brown hosts an extremist syndicated radio program, and I guess you are some of the extremist listeners. I tell you what, I'll be an extremist for Jesus. I'll be extremely in love with him. I'll be extremely devoted to him. I'll be extremely given over to him to live a life pleasing to him so I can help serve a dying, hurting world. Okay, and then after the debate, and anybody get my notes that wants to, there's not a syllable in the notes where I was making this a religious issue because we were talking about should the state recognize same-sex marriage. A couple times I said, if you're coming from a spiritual perspective, you know, if you believe in a creator, you can ask yourself what the creator designed me for. If I'm a man, didn't he design me for a woman and vice versa? But it wasn't a religious debate. Therefore, I didn't go in that direction. But the follow-up from OneOrlando.org, apparently the extremist turns out in large numbers at UCF's marriage debate. How unfortunate. But the faculty moderator kept the homophobe in check. That's me. Did not allow the debate to venture into religious dogma. Oh, do these dear people who need the Lord and need reality in their lives, these people for whom Jesus died, do they not have any interest in reality? Or must they construct a non-reality which is such to keep their fragile worldview intact? Oh, people will like that last comment of mine. The faculty moderator kept the homophobe in check. Yeah, he bullied me. By the way, he was a high school teacher, about half my size. He did a great job, by the way. Didn't have to keep me in check either.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. We're talking about social justice, standing up for what is right. In my case, the calling I received to reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, but to resist the activist agenda with courage. I've given much time and effort to resisting that agenda, to writing a book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Is that perhaps a satanic distraction from us preaching the gospel or evangelizing? Or is this all part of our role here as believers? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Next segment, I'm going to share with you an email I received and really open my heart very honestly to you. I've got nothing to defend because I answer to the Lord and I joyfully serve him, whatever the calling. It's a privilege to be in his family. It's a privilege to be involved with the name of Jesus. It's a privilege to be able to give our lives to the cause of the gospel and the kingdom of God. But I'm going to open up and share some things with you. But your feedback is welcome, 866-348-7884. Again, online, join our Facebook discussion and ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. To the phones, Danny in Garner, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. I'm blessed.
All right, first thing I want to say, and this is going to be real quick, but the first thing I want to say is you are not a racist, and for anybody that ever called in and said that, they are completely wrong, because I've been listening to you for the last 2 years, and I am an African American, and you preach the truth, and you keep people informed about what's going on in this world and what's going on in this government, and for whatever reason, people that have said that, they've said that out of anger and the wrong mindset and being deceived by the enemy, because a lot of people voted for Barack Obama simply because he was an African American, and that wasn't right, especially Christians doing that. All right, but to get to your second question, I just want to applaud you. Keep on doing the work of the Lord. Second question you said about social justice. I believe there can be a danger in it as far as putting it above the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know in Acts 1 and 8, God called us to go into the world and preach the gospel, because Jesus is the answer to all these ills. And sometimes we can take the social things, justice, services, and we can put those things above giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whereas if they get saved and get the Spirit of God and get born again, that would cure some of the ills that some of the people are dealing with and the wrong mindsets and other things. So Jesus is the cure, so I think if we keep him priority and whatever else we do secondary and fight this battle more spiritually than we do naturally, then I believe that we will come out with a better situation versus trying to do 100% the natural thing, the social justice, the social services, which I believe are very necessary, but they should be secondary to giving the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the true answer once a person gets born again when they accept Jesus Christ. Those that don't accept them, that's not our responsibility. That's between them and God, and we keep on moving forward with giving the gospel. So I believe that social service is very necessary, but I believe that the gospel is first priority, because that's what he's called us to do as believers. I'm talking about believers in the social system, that are working in the social system.
Got it. Hey, Danny, I appreciate the call. And first, for those that are listening that might be wondering why Danny made the initial comments he did, and thanks for being a listener over this period of time, Danny.
Yes, sir.
When I first got on the air a few years back, and President Obama was then Senator Obama, And I began to take issue with some of his stands. I took issue with some of Hillary Clinton's stands, some of John McCain's stands. But to my utter shock, because I've been called lots of things over the years, you know, for following Jesus. But to my utter shock, people started to call in. And it sounded primarily like African-Americans, or they identified themselves as such, and said, why do you have to bring up race all the time? And I said, what do you mean bring up race all the time? And they said to me, well, you're always bashing Barack Obama. And I said, well, first, I'm not always bashing him. And look, friends, if you listen to your typical conservative radio program, if you conservative news talk, there can be bashing of Barack Obama 24/7. So you know it's only on occasion that I bring things up, and it's one of their issues. But I said, no, it's issues to me. It's got nothing to do with race. The issues are the issues. And I said, I agree with certain things Sarah Palin was saying, and I didn't agree with things Hillary Clinton was saying. I said, that's nothing to do with gender. And I liked some things that former Senator Alan Keyes was saying, but I didn't agree with some things Barack Obama was saying. They're both black, but I said, it had nothing to do with race. So hopefully people that may have felt that way, and who knows, maybe they're a little sensitive to him being bashed a lot in other settings, or maybe they've encountered racism. So I was trying to be patient. My concern was not how to defend myself, Danny, but how to get the listeners to listen to me and really hear the issues I was getting at. My goal was to win them over to hear the issues. But I appreciate those comments, and I agree with what you're saying. It's easier to do natural things than spiritual things. It's always easier to pick up a phone and call someone than to get on your knees and pray. It's easier to read a magazine than the Word. It's easier to go to someone's house and bring them a cake for their birthday than to share the gospel with them. So I know that it's easy often to do physical things, earthly things, even social justice things. And that first and foremost, everything has to be fought spiritually in prayer and then with the preaching of the gospel. And I say the preaching of the gospel then extends to ministry to the whole person. So because I'm a follower of Jesus, now that I am saved, how should I live in the workplace? How should I conduct myself on the campus? How should I conduct myself in my neighborhood? If there is a problem in the educational system and it's breaking down in our schools, shouldn't we as Christians be an influence for good? If there are people starving in a certain part of the world and we have the ability to give and help, shouldn't we be an influence for good? If we see injustice, if we see danger to religious freedoms, if we see negative trends in society, shouldn't we be an influence? So as long as we do it with the right priorities, I look at it kind of like a tree growing out of the ground with lots of different branches, that social justice is one of those branches that comes out of the tree of the gospel. So, Danny, we are very much in sync, and I do appreciate the call.
Yes, sir. And I just wanted to tell you, too, the power of the gospel, and I know you know this, Dr. Brown, but the power of the gospel is so powerful that we can lace the social justice and the social services part into the gospel, but we can't lace the other thing. We can't make the other things priority and then try to lace the gospel in there to where, you know, the gospel is third, fourth, fifth on the list. And you know we're doing those other things. So
yeah, absolutely.
If we keep those things first, I believe we'll be fine.
Yep. All right, man. I'm with you. God bless you, Danny. Thanks so much. Look, everything flows out. Everything flows out of knowing Jesus and making Him known. Isn't that the truth? Everything in our lives flows out of knowing Jesus and making Him known. Knowing the Lord, making Him known. And as we know Him, how do we live? As we make Him known, how do we live? How do we serve? What is our role in the society? We come back on the other side of the break. I'm going to share my heart with you, some very honest things. I think some things that will stir you and move you, and play some more excerpts from my debate with Dr. Eric Small at University of Central Florida last week. Again, thanks for praying. I want to say this again. Together, by God's grace, we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I want to open up my heart to you. I want to share some things with you that took place between me and the Lord in private prayer, but the kind of thing that I can rightly and fairly share with you publicly has to do with calling, has to do with why I do what I do, the burden of my heart before the Lord. And it also interacts with an email I received. We get wonderful, lots and lots of positive, encouraging email and some critical email. And if one is forwarded to me, a critical or attacking one, I look at it to see if there's any truth in it. I'm secure enough in my relationship with Jesus to look at it to see if there's any truth in it, even if the person's attitude or words are wrong or off. So I'm going to share that with you. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be playing some excerpts of my debate from University of Central Florida on same-sex marriage last week. And I want to give you my comments on that horrific beating of the man who identifies as a transgender woman at McDonald's last week. I want to talk to you about that as well. 866-34-TRUTH. There is a very healthy discussion taking place right now on our Facebook page. Join in. Yeah, you got something to say? Don't crash your car and text while driving, but as soon as you have opportunity, join in the discussion there on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. At the very least, join the Facebook community there with us and interact by reading and maybe even by writing and contributing. Okay. The other night, as we were battling through obstacle after obstacle after obstacle with having this debate on the University of Central Florida, all kinds of opposition to it taking place, some vice presidents against it, some vice presidents for it. You say, why were they involved? Because that's how volatile this whole thing gets. One gay activist with some other allies trying to shut the thing down, a professor who had opened up a room for us coming under heavy criticism within some departments for doing it, police presence had to be there. I was agonizing in prayer, not over that. I mean, every step is just fraught with obstacle and difficulty, but one of our grads sent me a compilation he found online. When we were having prayer, we had at one time in our school about 34 nations represented when we were in Pensacola. We're now in right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And my heart beats for the nations. I've been overseas more than 100 different times, been to Italy 20 different times, and India 17 different times, and other countries a dozen different times. And my heart beats for the nations. And this day we were especially praying for Japan. And you're not going to understand this unless you're Japanese, but I want to let this play. We're having some worship, and we called up some of our Japanese students and asked them to pray. Clip number 9, Joey. This is what it sounded like. All right, we'll get that for you in 1 second. I was supposed to give them a heads up because that was in a different place. So, Joey, let me know as soon as you have it. But I was listening to the clip, and I was getting stirred. I was getting burdened. And I got on my face. I said, God, I said, God, you, not clip number 9, Japanese prayer clip. Thanks, Joey. My bad there. I was saying, God, you know I love the nations. Listen to this prayer. Pray for her lost country. We can fade that out. I said, Lord, you know my heart. You know I love the nations. You know I love going to the nations. I only want to do what you've called me to do. Lord, in a heartbeat, I'd be back out spending most of my time in the nations, preaching and strengthening the believers there. Lord, I've got to do what you're calling me to do. I want to share this email that we got. I want to tell you about why I do what I do. And come back and play some clips with you from the debate last week.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. All right, before I go to the phones, before I play some more excerpts from last week's debate, got this email. The vast, vast majority of emails that come in are handled by our great team here, and some are sent to me for potential use on a Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. Some are sent to me because of their personal nature. Some are sent to me because I'm the only one that would have an answer for it, and we'll have to farm it out to others that can help with that answer, or I'll have to answer it myself. And then every so often, some that are just personally critical are sent to me. So this one was from Wendy. In my opinion, a queer thing has happened to Dr. Brown. He's no longer preaching the gospel for the salvation of souls. Now, of course, that statement means he has no clue who I am. And Wendy, I would dare say that on a weekly basis, I'm sharing the gospel and involved with cultivating gospel evangelism more than most people you know, and maybe more than you. Wendy continues, Satan is just delighted about this. Another servant of God led astray using a precious time and energy, gaining notoriety, defending causes, and making enemies rather than preaching the grace of God through the cross. We truly are in the age of apostasy. I mean, it's just completely outrageous statements there. And Wendy, may the Lord help you to really find a place of service in Him where the love and joy so overflows from you that you don't just make judgments about other servants of the Lord. And I'm not judging your motivation, simply saying you're in error in what you're writing. Please don't email. She's emailed me with a defense. Every email I get is about his cause. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think Dr. Brown, like so many today, is just bored with his first love. He never seems to have much to say about him. Well, Wendy, you should listen to me more, because I'm constantly talking about recovering our first love. Just wrote an article, Let the Awakening Begin With Us. My last message is at Fire Church Community. We're about deepening our prayer lives and our intimacy with the Lord. And probably the constant theme that Nancy and I talk about, aside from God's reality touching a lost and hurting and dying world, probably the constant theme we talk about is the centrality of knowing Jesus and loving Jesus and being intimate with Him and everything flowing out of that. The fact is, when I get with the Lord, when I spend quality hours in His presence, when I'm really seeking Him, when I'm really enjoying His presence, He stirs me to stand for what's right. He stirs me for awakening. He stirs me for moral and cultural revolution. I care about the kingdom of God in this world. No, I'm not trying to take over. I'm trying to live as a disciple. Look, there would still be slave trade in America if Christians didn't stand up against it. There'd still be segregation in America if Christians, or at least professing Christians, didn't stand up against it. You know, we hail the Corrie ten Booms in Nazi Germany. We hail the William Wilberforces. We hail the John Wesleys. We hail the William Careys in India. We hail these others who risked their lives to do what was right, or who stood up for what was right, all as part of the gospel. I got calls in the first hour of programming today from school teachers, one teaching high school kids, another fifth graders. Talk about the influence of gay activism and same-sex households on kids in their schools. Do you not care about that? Do you not care about the fact that your religious freedoms are at stake? Do you not care about the fact that you could soon be codified as a bigot by the law for holding to fundamental Christian values? Does that not matter to you? And can I also say that I believe, because of this burden that God gave me, reach out and resist, that we are now helping to raise up more prayer for the salvation of homosexual men and women and those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, that we're helping to raise up more prayer for God's love to be revealed to them, for salvation to come to them, than just about any other voices out there. There are others doing it, but this is a constant theme, calling for prayer for their salvation and helping Christians reach out with the sensitivity of the gospel, because it's not either or. It's not either or. And is it a surprise that in the 5 weeks or 6 weeks after my book, A Queer Thing Comes Out, A Queer Thing Happened to America comes out, that we'll be doing some extra e-blasts about that? But those are not even the only e-blasts that we send out. So, you know, it's that what concerns me is that people feel they have the right to make this judgmental type of statement. You know, you're just trying to gain notoriety. We have no right to say that about one another. 1 Corinthians 4 makes clear that we can't judge the motivation of one another's hearts. And to me, this is all part of preaching and living out the gospel. And by the way, the main reason that I'm not overseas more is because of the radio program. And this radio program, we're seeking to deepen you in God. Tomorrow we're going to talk about deepening our prayer lives. And Wednesday, talk about what does it mean to come out and be separate. And Thursday, talk about dual covenant theology. I mean, a lot of important biblical foundations, hopefully to equip and help and strengthen you. And because of this priority that God's made this in my life, 2 hours of live radio daily, because of that, I have to travel overseas much less. I was able to squeeze in 6 trips last year, but I can't do that this year. I've declined a number of wonderful overseas invitations that I'd love to come, but I can't because this is priority. We have to do what God's given us to do, but at the same time, we're constantly raising up and sending out workers. My last 2 personal assistants, my current one and the one before that, one's in the Philippines with his wife and baby, and the other is on his way to the Philippines with his family. Why? Because our heart beats for missions day and night, and our heart beats for righteousness, and we dare not be irresponsible with this generation and our call to stand for what is right. Okay, before I go to the phones, this is the closing of my opening comments at the debate last week at University of Central Florida. Again, this should be available for viewing on YouTube and on our website, hopefully before this week is out. Clip number 4, Joey.
So to close, let's remember that despite the presence of same-sex attractions in most cultures or many cultures throughout history, and despite the fact that some of these relationships were open and celebrated, no one thought about redefining the nature of marriage, because marriage is about bringing 2 people together, a man and woman, for responsible procreation. That is why society and government cares about it, and something that is a guaranteed exception to that rule. There is no reason to give it governmental status recognition, to mess with the foundations, to tamper with these things, to change the meaning of marriage. So, this is not bigotry, this is not hatred, this is not homophobia, this is not intolerance, this is about the meaning of marriage. And I, for one, thank God for the institution of marriage and do not want to see a change for the good of our society. Thank you.
Now, you know what's very interesting, friends, is that despite same-sex, quote, marriage, despite same-sex couples, we love them, pray for them, want them to come into the fullness of God's transforming love to experience repentance, freedom, salvation, healing. But, you know, the fact is, even with all of our research and advances in science, every human being is the product of a male and female, one way or another. You still can't get around that. Every human being in the world is the product of a mother and father. And it may be from a distance, but there are the biological components, one that comes from a man, one comes from a woman, without which there cannot be a child. And as I challenged the students that were there at the debate, University of Central Florida, hey, if you were raised by mother and father, which one of them is dispensable in terms of raising you? Which one would you just throw away and said they made no impact in your life? To the phones, Todd in Tampa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, it's a great subject that you're carrying here, and I want to say something to the Christians and those of us who are in love with Jesus Christ, and I'd like to comment one thing about, the president going to supposedly church on Sunday, on Easter, but back to your initial, I want to say this, to the person, to the homosexual, the last thing you want to hear is, it's unholy, and let me say to the Christian, who knows it's unholy, it's disgusting. I mean, who would even want to, even think about something like that? Let me say this to you before, when you got your stone in your hand, the businessman who's cheating on it with his secretary at the office, and the housewife who could be cheating, and thank God I've never experienced anything like that. I'm just saying those 2 things are wrong. They're all wrong. They're all unholy. And I don't want to bring up the name of someone famous who just, lost his kids and threw a terrible divorce and things like that. But I appreciate and respect whoever, your ministry. And I'm talking to the American people, your ministry of defending righteousness and godliness and holiness. We have a president in the White House who defends funding for Planned Parenthood and abortions. We have a president in the White House who went to Jeremiah Wright's son's church on Easter Sunday. He has never said Merry Christmas and God bless America and the American people since he's been in office till recently when he launched his new campaign. We have a president who is against Jesus Christ and holiness and godliness. And I want to say this to you. As you watch our men and women who are laying their lives down for our country and our freedoms through these, you know, ridiculous Muslim terrorists and everything else that they're battling, you're going to have to lay it down for the master, the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Hey, Todd. All right. Thanks, man. Got to cut you off. We're out of time. Back with more right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, in the last few weeks, I had two people, 29 years old, one a committed Christian man with three little children, the other a school teacher, a liberal Jewish woman with married but with no children, but teaching middle schoolers. Both of them say to me that they cannot believe how much the world has changed. Things have changed in society, in values, in other ways, in the last 10 years. Well, in their lifetimes, but meaning especially from their teen years until now. If we, what's going to happen in another 5? What's going to happen in another 10? You know, I take no satisfaction in saying that the things I warn you about, the things I wrote about, the queer thing happened to America, the warnings I sounded at the debate this past Thursday. I take no joy in saying that you will recognize my position was right and the warnings were true. I know that as sure as I'm sitting here that the things we're talking about and people say, nah, it'll never happen, you'll say, oh, wow, you were right. That gives me no satisfaction. I don't want to be right. I want to help people. I want to glorify Jesus. I want us to make a difference. I don't want us to dig ourselves out of a 100-foot ditch when we don't have to be in the ditch at all. Okay. Before I play this last excerpt from the debate for you, one thing I want to comment on in the news, and you'll be hearing a lot about this. I watched the video over the weekend. Oh, what a brutal video. I thought it was a woman getting beaten up by two other women in a McDonald's. It was horrific. It was nauseating. It was disgusting. Thankfully, the victim, in terms of physical injuries, was not that seriously hurt. It looked like the victim was having a seizure at the end. It's absolutely deplorable that this happened. It's utterly deplorable that the staff there at that particular McDonald's didn't intervene immediately and jump on this thing. Shocking, shocking. Then the reports come out. This was actually a man. They kept saying she, a transgender woman, a man who identifies as a woman, a cross-dresser, that was in the bathroom. And apparently, according to at least some reports, that's what started the dispute. Man, you get out of our bathroom, even though the person was dressing like a woman. Okay, there are two totally separate issues here. There was a horrific act of violence on a fellow human being that is deplorable, utterly inexcusable for any reason. And those involved in the crime need to be punished accordingly. Issue number one. Issue number two, totally separate issue. Do not use this, as it is currently being used, as a platform to argue for, quote, transgender rights and say, well, a man who dresses as a woman should be allowed in the women's bathroom. No, he shouldn't. No, he shouldn't. And if that was the issue, those women immediately should have been able to go to the manager and say there's a man dressed as a woman in the ladies' room. He said, well, does he go to the men's room? Well, this is a problem now. We are being told in our society that we have to completely adjust our entire society based on if someone wants to cross-dress. These people have internal problems, internal issues. They're not at home in the bodies in which they were created. My heart goes out to them. I cannot imagine the struggles they go through. But we will not reconstruct society for their benefit. We will say we'll help you and we'll protect you from acts of violence. But if you want to be a school teacher, sir, in a dress, that's not going to work. And I'll fight against that happening. And if you're going to work in a daycare, And man, you know, sir, with your mustache and beard, wear a dress. I'm going to give an extreme case here to illustrate the point. and I'm not allowed to fire you over that, I'm going to fight against that, just to be clear. At the same time, even more loudly, I will fight against anyone doing violence to you in the midst of your own life confusion. All right, last excerpt I want to play for you. This is a question from Dr. Small to me about the role between man and woman. Clip number 8.
Okay, could you tell me what the role of the man and woman is? Because I think that's a kind of something.
The thing that's unfortunate is that that draws applause, as if the kids that are here could say there's no difference between my mom and my dad, that they're exactly the same, and that one is dispensable.
Can I point out a confusion? You said that there's no difference between man and woman, but I didn't ask you if there was a difference. I asked about the role.
I understand that. And by role, we're talking about differences. And what was unfortunate was the applause to that, as if there are no different roles. Of course, we understand. Same word, different roles here, the same concept. So there are roles that are only a woman can get pregnant. Is that laughable? That only a woman can get pregnant? Is that a laughable comment? Come
on.
The trouble. How about having babies? That's a role. Being able to produce that is a role. I mean, the thing that's unfortunate is that we even have to have this discussion. This is where it goes. This is the answer to your last question. It breaks down gender roles and gender distinction. There is a role that a man has in a marriage that is a protection, that there are a lot of predatory other men, that woman that has... I was looking forward to a serious... I was honestly looking forward to a serious academic debate. Not to hot air comments and laughing at serious statements. I think, honestly... No insult intended. It degrades your position when you do that. It may score a few points with a few folks, but to others, it degrades the seriousness of your position. If I can be utterly candid.
Okay, go ahead and finish that, please.
Yeah, that is why we have these debates, because there is an absence of moral, clear thinking on so many of our campuses. And if we don't bring it as believers, who's going to bring it? It is an outrage that we have been told at different campuses, with Christian groups, if we try to bring a debate on campus about anything having to do with homosexual issues of any kind, some Christian groups said we will try to shut it down. God help us to awaken. This is one of the reasons we do what we do. Okay, we've got a terrific response to our kind of ridiculous discount on our School of Cultural Engagement classes from 2009 about separation of church and state, about reclaiming sexual purity, about cultural apologetics, about it's time to rock the boat. Other great classes, 6 weeks of classes, 4 nights each. We offered it at 80% off the normal price, and the normal price is low. We got such a good response, we decided we're going to continue that offer just the rest of this week, and then that's it. So if you'd like to get 6 classes, wonderful classes to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player with some of the top teachers in America addressing these issues, it's worth several $100s. We sell it for $125. You can get all of them for $40 and play them for your church, for your group. Use them however you want to use them. $40 total for all 6 weeks. Here's the number to call. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. If you believe in what we're doing, if you want to stand with us as a torchbearer, boy, that would be awesome. It's lots of people doing a little that make the difference. It's lots of people saying, hey, I want to pitch in. I want to help. I appreciate what you're doing. I know you come under flak and attack. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand with you. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 or write to us at P.O. Box 5546. That's P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. My bottom line today, the world has lost its way. The world has lost its way in a maze of moral insanity, and much of the church has become indifferent and confused, even at best. We have no choice. We must recover our moral and spiritual bearings and stand while there is still time to stand.